So guys, you know, I always say I'm a mental health specialist. So it's only right with World Mental Health Day coming up this week that I bring some other mental health specialists.
Balance to me sounds like everything should be equal and everything can't always be equal. What I'm carrying right now is trying to find a good harmony with all the areas of my life.
I hold my emotions in my body. So okay. For example, if I'm feeling stressed or anxious, typically I know for myself through probably years of observation, I feel it in my chest. Mm. I can feel that tightness in my
really?
Chest. Yeah.
Some people are walking around and they're squeezing their bum.
Yes.
Clenching
your bum. You need to relax.
So of course, we know fruit and veg is helpful. There's a lot of vitamins and things that we can get from it. Mm. Also, I'm sorry, sometimes a cheeky cake is necessary. Mm. And I think it's about moderation.
Yeah.
Into run a marathon, I might be very mindful about what I'm eating.
Yeah.
But if I'm mindful about what I'm eating all my life, on holiday, at parties, at my own party, then that's where I can say potentially it could run into a problem. Mm. Because where's the balance? Mm. And actually, there are certain foods that are for fun and for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. We've spoken a lot about like fitness and health, but another massive component of fitness and health is rest. Mm-hmm. Having been in the field in a decade, I really feel like mental health professionals are like the unseen heroes.
100%.
And I didn't say give me your flowers, and I did mean literally
as well. So just a flowers for you. We'll pass it along. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Weight of It podcast. It's me, Run With Rhodes, your mental health specialist, back again to talk about all things fitness and health. So guys, you know, I always say I'm a mental health specialist. So it's only right with World Mental Health Day coming up this week that I bring some other mental health specialists. So we have three amazing people working in the same field as me, and we're going to start off with Miss Vanessa.
Hey.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
And we also have Celine.
Hey.
And Paris.
Hi, guys.
You guys were very cutesy and very demure with your intro. Very mindful.
Straight away.
So, yeah, guys, this is a very much a... This is like, yeah, just a mental health professional space. It's given networking event at this point. But yeah, do you guys want to tell people, obviously you said your name, but what do you do and like kind of field you're working in?
Okay, sure. So, hey guys, I'm Vanessa and I'm a qualified cognitive behavioral psychotherapist. Whoop, whoop. And I also run the organization Inside Out Wellbeing. So I am all about helping people achieve their goals, look after their wellbeing, live their best lives.
Love that.
And that's essentially who I am, professionally and also personally as well. I like to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You be traveling, we be seeing. Lovely.
Surprise, she's here.
Yeah, that part.
I don't even want to be in the country right now, but it's okay.
Nice. Thanks, Vanessa. And Celine, do you want to tell people who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Celine. I'm the founder of a social enterprise called Solution. So what we do in a nutshell is we teach people how to look after their mental health. So through events, workshops, free content online, all the good stuff. I'm also a stress coach, which means that if people ever want to learn how to manage their stress better or know how to make better decisions to improve their life, then I'm the person that you call. Okay,
love that.
Yeah.
That's love. Y'all heard it here first.
Outside of that, I'm a baby, period.
And not yeah,
I just love to have fun, love to have a good time. I love spending time with my friends.
Cute.
My turn.
Your turn.
Hi, everyone. I'm Paris, currently a trainee clinical psychologist. I'm also a qualified CBT therapist and a coach. My main aims is to ensure that everyone is able to live a life that they deserve without struggle and with ease. So my main focus is around allowing people to kind of overcome trauma that they've experienced in life, but also to better their mental health and well-being. I run a private practice as well, but at the moment my full-time focus is this course that is dragging me by my ponytails, but we're gonna get through.
You get that, Dr.
In my spare time, love to live life, love to travel, go out to eat, enjoy with the girls, that kind of thing. And yeah, I'm just here for a good time.
Like ministers of enjoyment.
It's too, like, it's giving odd one out because you guys be traveling. You guys be traveling.
You enjoying yourself though. Oh, girl, we do.
Balance is important. It's important.
Yeah. There's a time for everything.
Exactly.
Actual fight scene.
Exactly.
No, love that. Love that. So thanks guys for coming on this podcast. Like I said, World Mental Health Day, I was like, oh, we got to address that and talk about a few things. So yeah, this should be a really, really good conversation. And these girls' details will be in the description box so you guys can follow, book them. As you can see, we've got serious people in the room. Be booking, be getting your stress sorted out, get the trauma sorted out. You know, let's be booking these people. Okay, cool. So first question I'm gonna ask. I'm laughing because, by the way, guys, I asked them this question before we started rolling and everyone thought I was going to wave them. Like, you know, it's not that. So I want to ask, what weight are you carrying?
Okay. Okay. It's a deep question.
Yeah, it's a deep question.
I would say for me right now, currently, the weight that I'm carrying is transitioning from being employed and running a business to fully self-employed.
Oh,
so that transition is a very steep transition. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny because when I was speaking to one of my friends about it, I almost felt like I wasn't doing enough and I felt I wasn't working as hard as I should be. But of course, that's because whilst you're running a business and working at the same time, you're going from session to meeting and you're trying to squeeze things in between your lunch breaks. Even sometimes you've got your laptop out in the car and things like that. So you're running around. So now that I'm working at my own pace, it almost feels like, oh, that adrenaline has just, it's just gone.
Okay.
So it always feels like I'm not doing, it felt anyway, initially, like I wasn't doing enough. But all it is I'm just getting used to that pace. But at the same time, again, because it's a transition, all transitions are hard.
All of them.
Very, all very challenging.
Yeah.
So I would say currently that's the weight that I'm carrying.
Yeah. And I guess it's about giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
To like adjust to this new difference.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Because it's not an overnight thing.
It's not.
But I think sometimes it's hard to give yourself grace because you're kind of like, I've got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what it is as well. Because I think there's always things to do.
Yeah.
And so in a way, there's a bit of pressure to think, okay, I have to get everything done in one day. But as we know, there's only so much you can do in one day.
Yeah.
So it's just allowing yourself to be like, okay, Vanessa is enough. Let's carry
the rest.
On to the next day.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna touch on that in a bit. Thanks for sharing. Celine?
What's the question again?
What weight are you carrying?
The weight I'm carrying, similar to Vanessa, transitions, and just actually, I don't want to use the word balancing because I don't always agree with it because I feel like life is just life and nothing, like balance to me sounds like everything should be equal and everything can't always be equal.
Right.
So what I'm carrying right now is trying to find a good harmony with all the areas of my life because quite a few of them require a lot of me at the same time. And I feel like I'm quite used to a few areas needing some what's the word I'm looking for?
Attention.
Needing some attention. Yeah. But then, you know, you've got the other areas in your life that are quite stable. So you're able to like stay grounded. But right now it feels like all of them need attention. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like whoa. So that is feeling really heavy at the moment. Yeah. And in between that, I'm trying to manage myself and make sure that I'm okay, because if I'm not okay, then I can't do what I do.
So
that has been very, very weighty for me.
Oh, got you. I have a follow-up question for that, but I'm gonna ask it. No. She said not too much of me.
In my business.
But I will come back to that. Okay. Paris. The weight that I'm carrying at the moment, I think I'm carrying quite a lot of weight, but the main one I would say that needs my attention is my doctorate. So I've just entered my final year. Ooh. And I can't believe it, girls, are coming to an end. But with the final year, it means research. And I love all things psychology. I love therapy. But one of the areas I've always struggled with is research. Mm-hmm. I've got dyspraxia, so just the kind of structure of it and the systems, it just goes over my head. Mm.
So I'm really struggling with that at the moment. Mm-hmm. And obviously that is the main focus now. At the end of this, I need to write a 30,000 word thesis. And right now I've written zero.
Okay.
So yes. It's heavy, but yeah. I think one of the things that I need to continue to remind myself is that I'm not doing this alone. I've got a supervisory team I can lean on. Mm-hmm. These people want to support me and are there for me, mm-hmm. but I sometimes struggle to ask for help. So I think as much as it's kind of heavy, I need to be mindful that I can offload mm-hmm. to those people, friends, yeah. family, etc. So
yeah. Wow.
That's me.
Yeah. No, I hear it, girls. I hear it. But y'all still pushing through.
Mm. Always.
So, you know, glory be to God. Mm-hmm. Still here. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, but okay. One of the questions I also wanted to ask was, before we get into it, what is the difference between a psychotherapist and a psychologist? And I'm actually asking this because Chloe asked this at the beginning.
Okay.
So who wants to go answer that question?
Do you want to go for it?
You're the one that's going from one to one.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. I am I have transitioned. And I kind of talked about that. All right, so don't quote me on this, but my definition or my differentiation between a psychotherapist and a clinical psychologist is that a psychotherapist tends to be specialized in providing therapy in a specific modality or multiple modalities. When I'm talking about therapy, I'm talking about on an individual level, couples or with families, and allowing people to overcome their traumas and sort of support them with their mental health and well-being in various different ways. So the main focus is on that, mm-hmm. using different techniques. A clinical psychologist, yes, they may offer therapy, but I would also say they offer other things, including research. So clinical psychologists will often do research, audits and services, service evaluations, but they also do a lot of leadership things. Mm-hmm. So leading services, providing managerial things to services and individuals. And then I think there's a big focus on consultation. So not always doing the therapeutic work yourself. As a therapist, a lot of therapeutic work was done myself, mm-hmm. but navigating into the space of being a clinical psychologist, mm-hmm. actually a lot of it might be providing tools, techniques, knowledge to other members of teams and different professionals for them to do the work.
I would say
those are the kind of main differences.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I agree with that. I think typically, not always, but typically as well, psychologists would usually have trained in a doctorate sort of way. So they will have that doctor title.
Yeah.
Whereas psychotherapists may not. And yeah, just like you said, the focus is more on therapeutic work. Mm-hmm. Whereas with psychologists, you're doing more consultancy work, managerial work, things like that. So you hit the nail on the head, girl.
Yeah. Thanks. No, that's really good to help set the scene. I think especially for like listeners who are hearing therapist, stress coach, psychologist, like what is the difference? You know? Okay, cool. So obviously guys, you know this is a health and fitness podcast. So, you know, I'm gonna be in your business. Some of you guys can know what fitness and health looks like for you. But if you know, if you think about like your best week, like whatever that may look like to you, how would your fitness and health look like in that week?
Ooh. I would say one thing that I've been quite intentional of, especially now that I'm in my own routine and my mm-hmm. own flow of work, is getting up in the morning and stretching my body.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I love that.
I love stretching.
I'm going to need to start. I'm turning 30 soon, so I need to start tapping into that.
Think for me, I feel like, I don't know if I'm going a little bit too deep here, but I hold my emotions in my body. So it just means that when I stretch, it allows me to actually just regulate myself. Yes.
Can I ask a question? How do you know, by the way, you don't have to answer this because I can edit this stuff out. Okay. But how do you know that you hold the emotions in your body? Like,
because I can feel it. For example, if I'm feeling stressed or anxious, typically I know for myself through probably years of observation, I feel it in my chest. Mm. I can feel that tightness in my chest. Yeah. For me personally anyway. Or if I'm just feeling really overwhelmed, I might feel it in my back as well, my lower back. So it just means that I need to stretch it out. And we know that there's a big link between your physical body and your mental health as well. So I think for me personally, that's something that I've observed over time where I can actually feel those emotions in my body. Not everyone does feel their emotions in their body, but I know for me, that's something that I do feel. So stretching in the morning really, really helps. And I'm trying to be a gym babe.
Okay.
I'm trying. So yeah, okay. I'm trying to go to like the gym at least like 3-4 times a week.
Nice.
Yeah. Do a little bit of strength training.
It's a little bit. I love that for you. I love that. Does anyone else here relate to the whole feeling stress in their body?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. And what does that look like for you?
So I will catch myself like this, like tense. And I will literally have to say, Celine, relax your shoulders. Yeah. Like it's a very, now I'm at the place where I can notice it.
Right.
Okay. You just need to relax your shoulders. But yeah, I carry that in my shoulders. I just be walking around like, like, you know the Arthur meme where he's got his arm?
Stop it.
I'd be so tense, like, when I'm anxious.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just have to be mindful about it and try and look out for it. And when I do, it's just relax. Do you?
Absolutely the same. Mm-hmm. In the shoulders, every time I get a massage, they're like, Parish, you're so tense up here.
Yeah.
And I feel like, is it the trapeze muscles? Mm-hmm. No, the muscles here that when the men go to the gym, it's like...
Okay.
Mine are quite large, girls. For a woman, they're quite large. And I feel like it's because I've always been tense and hitched up from a child.
Right.
So actually what I do, like every so often when I catch myself, is I like roll my shoulders back. Okay. And by rolling the shoulders back, I'm able to feel them go from tense to actually relaxed. Yeah. But it's an intentional thing I have to do.
Yeah.
I also notice tension in my chest as well, but more like maybe palpitations when I'm really stressed.
Mm.
But that's when I'm like really, really stressed. But yeah, I carry it all up here for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've actually never heard anyone say this, you know. Oh. Yeah, I'm like genuinely being enlightened. Like
it might actually be because
what we do.
We're able to notice it. Because a lot of people don't realise how they're walking around with so much tension. Like some people are walking around and they're squeezing their bum.
Clenching your back.
You need to relax. I wanted the moment. Sorry.
You know what? Another one that I've actually remembered as well is the grinding teeth.
Oh, I've heard about that one. Yeah.
Grinding teeth.
Oh,
yeah.
So is that something you guys do? Okay.
Do you know what? It's so funny because there was a time where I was feeling really stressed and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where, do you know, as black women, sometimes we don't want to burden other people with problems. We hold on to stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah, everyone in the room just said.
That's right. And as we're holding on to it, you might be trying your best physically to hold on to it, but your body is also taking note of what's going on.
Yeah.
So you might not be articulating yourself, but your body is articulating it for you.
For sure.
And so there was a time where, like, I remember I actually woke myself up because I was grinding my teeth that bad.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, Vanessa, no, this can't run.
Wow.
It can't run. I need to stop this. So
yeah,
it's just about reevaluating and okay, where do we go from here?
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it because obviously you guys have all given examples, is it that simple of just like you clock it and now you can just like stop it every time you notice it? Is it like quite a simple-ish process?
I mean, they say the body keeps the score. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I noticed mine, it was more so, okay, when I'm feeling stressed, you know, these people keep telling me, Paris, you carry so much tension up here. So okay, cool. When I'm stressed, what do I notice in my body?
Mm.
So being intentional, almost like a mindfulness, like body scan. What am I noticing in my body? Where's the tension? Mm. How does it feel? And then if I'm noticing that, being able to kind of consciously let it go.
Mm.
But remember where the body keeps the score and our brains are like, they kind of create patterns. Naturally, that's what you're going to go to. So whenever I'm stressed, I'm going to go to that sort of hunched position. So I have to intentionally unhunch, which is creating a new neural pathway in my brain. The old one is very strong. Like I said, it's hench. So in order to get that new one hench, I need to be very intentional and mindful, and I'm not always going to catch it. So what I do is, like, again, every so often in a day, I'll just kind of roll my shoulders back and hope that I'll catch it.
And I think as well, I don't think it's a bad thing to actually experience these things.
The
way that I look at it is, it's a form of communication. Is your body actually saying, you need to chill. You need to just slow down. These are, I would say, helpful reminders that your brain or your body is communicating to your brain to be like, okay, let's
what's
take
going
that
on here
time.
So
it's not, if you feel those, because I think sometimes when people feel those symptoms, it's like, oh my gosh, what's happening to me? Am I dying? What's going on?
Mm.
But it's just your body communicating to you at the end of the day.
Wow. Okay. That's really insightful. So thanks for that, because I know we went on a bit of a tangent But no, that's fine. So Celine, what does like a good like workout, fitness, health week look like for you?
For me, a good workout week looks like 5 days in the gym.
Oh, love that. Love
strong. It. She came in strong.
Love it. She came in
What days?
Monday to Friday.
Oh, love that.
Yeah. I treat it like a job.
Yeah.
Amazing. Take my weekends off, like. Honestly, Monday to Friday in the gym in the mornings. That's my ideal.
Yeah.
Sometimes life happens and I find myself there in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I just really like to go to the gym.
Okay.
Enjoy it. I enjoy it so much. I enjoy like doing hard things in the gym anyway.
Yeah.
Because then I leave the gym and I'm like, okay, well, there isn't any way that I can't do any other hard thing now because love I've that. Just done something really hard. So it's like a nice way to get myself like
ready for anything.
Right, good.
It doesn't always work, sure. But for the most part, that's what it looks like for me. And I like walking as well.
Okay, nice.
A good walk.
Yeah.
So.
And is did you say you go to the gym in the morning? Mm-hmm. So do you feel like find a difference when you go like in the evening if you do?
I just don't like it.
There's no preference.
Because I'm so used to like, okay, I'm getting ready for the day.
Okay.
I've kind of created that pattern. Like my body knows that, okay, if we're working out,
we've
got a day ahead of us.
Yeah.
And then to work out, I think I'll just be up like after the workout in the evening. So
how do you keep yourself awake throughout the day? Because I find that when I go gym in the morning.
I'm tired. I'm tired. I experience like some dips. Mm-hmm. Became a coffee drinker.
Oh, God.
I noticed that actually I needed to mind what I was eating. Mm. I actually needed to mind what I was eating because what I was eating, what I thought it was like, okay, yeah, you're just fueling your body. Actually, it wasn't like, it was just making me feel slumped.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I started to change that.
Yeah.
I
can definitely.
What did you change? Sorry, I'm just being so right now.
Just like more of a protein based breakfast as opposed to like, just a carb based breakfast and pushing the carbs to like before the workout so that I actually have the energy to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a nutritionist, thank you.
I love it.
The PT.
I
love it. No, I actually definitely relate to that. Funny enough, this is my first week going back to my morning workout. I think I tried to be an afternoon babe because I said, who needs to do that in the morning? I learnt very quickly. Stick to your lane.
Yeah.
Like, and then I just think it would throw off my day because like I'm really focused and I go and do this massive workout. Then I come back and I'm just discombobulated.
Yeah.
So now I've gone back to the morning, but I've actually felt the tiredness now at like 2 p.m.
Okay. You're ready to sleep.
Exactly.
It's literally two. I can see it's literally 1:30, 1:31. But I can know the countdown before the tiredness. And then like I started having coffee, but then I have like a love-hate relationship with coffee because I don't like the idea of relying on something. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Whereas like even though I know it's doing the job, but I think I'm very aware of developing an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know when people are like, oh, it's just a coffee. I don't want that to be my story. Yeah. Like it's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
And there was actually a time when I was having so much coffee, I was having heart palpitations at night.
Oh, right.
But I actually realised it's because of the coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like when I had coffee the other day, I was like, oh no, this is how it starts. This is how it starts. So, but I do definitely agree. When I go in the evening, it's like I've got no energy. I'm tired from the day. My workout's at 20%.
Right.
But in the morning, the only thing is like what I eat is so important. Because one time I had oats after, I could have just gone to bed and started the next day. Like, I have to be so intentional with, like, eating a high protein, like, something gut-friendly so that I'm upright for the day type of thing. So I definitely resonate with that, for sure.
And sorry, what time are you guys talking about when you say morning?
Do you know what, I'm changing.
Okay.
So right now it's, like, 9, 10, between, like, 9 and 12, right?
Okay.
And I don't like that. For me, because I used to be 6 a.m. Mm. And life.
Okay.
So now I'm trying to go back to the 6 a.m. because that's when I felt so good.
Everything
about the day just felt good.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you feel like, it's 10 o'clock and I've done all of this.
That part. Like, that's, guys, do you know, yesterday I went to the gym at like 6 something. By the time it was 10, I had completed a visa for my holiday. I had set up meetings. Mm. I had done life admin. I'd done, and it was like, you almost feel like I can even have a little rest now.
Yeah, now cheeky nap.
Yeah.
Cheeky nap. I woke up still.
Yeah.
Still had so much of a day. Like, it's such a good feeling. So I'm trying to get back to that. And that's my October mission.
Okay.
Get back to the 6 a.m. If you see it on my story, please.
I might try that too. Yeah.
No.
And I think sometimes it's been, yeah,
accountability. Okay. Like a little bit of accountability.
I'm actually dreading the question for me. So, like, obviously, because you guys are all, you know, in the therapeutic space, and I know, like, language is really important and what we label things and terminologies. What's your view when you see, let's say, content on social media and it's referring to food as good food and bad food? Like, what's your, do you have a perspective of it? Because I've seen a lot of discourse around the fact that we shouldn't be labeling food as bad. We should be accepting of, like, all food groups, and we shouldn't, like, carbs are not the enemy. You know, that kind of, like, stuff. What's your view on it from, like, a personal and professional POV?
Yeah, I think it's quite dangerous for us to be labelling foods as good or bad and be putting food into certain categories. Of course, we know that there's certain foods that are not going to serve us.
Yeah.
However, depending on someone's, like, health circumstances may mean that there's particular foods that they need to eat to be able to actually sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think the thing about social media is content is very minimized it's very, let me use the word, reductionist.
Oh,
in the sense where
someone went to school, someone is educated,
3 degrees that way. just in the sense where the content is typically reduced to bite-sized information, and of course. Nowadays, social media is basically like the third parent, even for adults and for children too. So people are not just being entertained by social media.
Yeah.
They're learning about things from social media.
Yeah.
So even TikTok as well. TikTok is another third parent.
Yeah.
As well. So people are more likely to go to TikTok to find certain information as opposed to go to Google or things like that. So I think we need to be very mindful
of the language
that we use.
Yeah.
Because there might be certain seasons where there's particular foods that serve you and there's particular foods that don't.
Yeah.
So that's
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like now, like as it gets darker,
you're
gonna be more prone to eating different types of food.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that these foods are bad. It's
just
they're comforting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think it's harder to even like eat a salad in this weather as opposed to like warm vegetables.
Soup.
A soup. Yeah. Good soup. Yeah. Bring back soups.
Yeah. This is soup season.
Yeah.
So soup's coming back.
Soup is coming back.
Okay. I think to kind of go back to that question, how I see food is like fuel. So rather than it being good or bad, it's what is actually going to nourish me to be able to get me to where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So of course we know fruit and veg is helpful. There's a lot of vitamins and things that we can get from it. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm sorry, sometimes a cheeky cake is necessary.
Mm.
And I think it's about moderation.
Yeah.
I think a cheeky slice of cake, you know, whatever suits your fancy.
Yeah.
I think how I like to see things is rather than good or bad, it's what is gonna be helpful in that moment for me. So, for example, I'm looking to run a marathon. I might be very mindful about what I'm eating.
Yeah.
But if I'm mindful about what I'm eating all my life, on holiday, at parties, at my own party, then that's why I can say potentially it could run into a problem.
Mm.
Because where's the balance?
Mm.
And actually, there are certain foods that are for fun and for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not a PT or a health specialist or anything, but I genuinely feel like there's a time and a place to enjoy a bit of indulgement in food, and I think that's okay as long as it's in moderation.
Yeah,
I think it's all about balance.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, I agree. Celine, anything to add to that?
No, just even if you remember, like when they showed us in school, like early days, the whole balanced food.
Yeah,
there was cake on
and chocolate biscuits.
Yeah, it was there. Like they would have put it there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So yeah, everything is just about moderation.
That's it.
And the context behind it.
Yeah, and then from like psychological point of view, what kind of processes do you think people are having when they're, how can I word this? So, you know, like, for example, I do agree with the balance, but you know where some people are Monday to Sunday, holiday, come rain, come shine, they are eating like this meal prep every single day. What kind of psychological processes are happening there? Because some people could argue it's an eating disorder. Some people could argue it's like OCD, but then someone could argue the same way you want balance, this is their choice of balance. But at what point would someone like yourselves in your profession step in and be like, let's sit down and actually think about this because this might be a problem?
I think it's just more about the intention behind it.
Okay.
And the mindset behind it. So two people can do the same thing,
yeah,
but then their intentions will be quite different.
Right.
So for example, in terms of meal prep, if someone has a particular goal that they're trying to achieve, and so as a result of that, they need to maybe restrict what they're eating, mm-hmm. or eat certain types of foods to reach that goal, mm-hmm. then there's nothing wrong with that. That's the goal that they want to achieve. However, where I would say maybe it's a little bit of a slippery slope, mm-hmm. but maybe what I, through a psychological lens, would see as mm-hmm. cause for concern mm-hmm. would be if it's got to the point where it's interfering with the life that they want to live, and interfering with them being the person that they want to be.
Yeah.
So just as an example, let's say, you know, they are not going to work or leaving the house or doing certain things.
Yeah, not hanging around with friends.
Not hanging around with friends.
Turning down social events and stuff like that.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Because they need to, you know, make sure that they get these meals in a particular way, things like that. Then, if it's something that's affecting your day-to-day life and impacting your day-to-day life in a way that you don't want it to, because it's going to be subjective. I might see someone doing that and think, oh, okay, this is not what I would do, but... That's what works for them. So that's okay. If that's what works for you, by all means. But I think it's just more about if it's interfering with the life that you want to live.
Yeah. Got you. Anyone else got anything to add?
What she said.
Yeah.
Literally.
No. I agree. And obviously, like I said at the beginning of today's, I'm about to say meeting. Wow. I need to switch off from work.
I need to switch off.
As I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, is that it is World Mental Health Day this week, and a big part of my career in mental health has actually been in eating disorders. Quite funny, ironic that I've got a weight and, you know, health related podcast off the back of it, but I think a lot of the people I've worked with are actually so young people, so, you know, we're talking people from 8 till about 17, and, you know, you're seeing these young people come in and severely underweight, and, you know, as much as the weight is what you're seeing, it's everything in their mind that's contributed to where they are. And I think a big thing that I saw, especially when I was early on in my career, was the impact of social media. And I think all of us here use social media for both our personal lives and professional lives. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, sometimes social media will have you on a chokehold. Sometimes it's like, I would feel like, so like, oh my God, like this week I've worked out really well. I'm feeling slimmers. I look good. I look bad. And then I'll see somebody else who's got a big, you know, she got a bigger booty, she got a smaller waist, and I'm like, oh
yeah,
I can get back in the gym tonight. You know, and these things, although like we can all feel like we're confident and all that stuff, I think there are those moments of, I don't know, is it weakness we would call it, but where you're just aware of the fact that you maybe don't look like this or you don't have that, and so on and so forth. So when that was a really like big segue. So when it comes to things like eating disorders, if you've worked with anybody in those fields, what patterns do you tend to see that social media is also having the people like that? And I was actually going to come to you, Celine, because I think stress is something that I don't think people clock onto as an impact with eating disorders as well. So an example I give is I've worked with young people where it's the stress of exams.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's, you know, they are also consumed by the same social media we're seeing with people, big cars and so on and so forth. So people are just trying to study hard to get to uni or whatever. So, you know, I know stress is a big component of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, in what I've seen, in my experience, I've seen lots of, like, comfort eating. Because, like, when it comes to stress and finding a way to cope with how they've been feeling and can just go straight to food just because it's all they know. I don't really see it the other way though.
Okay.
In terms of like under eating, I haven't personally
seen
it, but I have seen the overeating.
Yeah.
Just because it's like it's such a coping mechanism that, like, I don't know, has anyone ever just walked to the fridge just because you're
bored.
Yeah. Like, you're just, it becomes this habit.
So, yeah,
I've seen it in that way.
I think for me, as it pertains to like under eating, it's usually as a form of control.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we can control is what we put in our mouths.
Mm.
And when you talk about exam stress, I'm thinking about someone that I've worked with, and a lot of it was rooted in perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
So where she felt as though others in her class were doing better than her, it would lead to her restricting her food because perhaps, you know, she's studying as hard as she can.
Yeah.
And just for whatever reason, they're getting a different result. Actually, I can control what I put in my mouth, what I don't.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of
connections between perfectionism and having an eating disorder and all about maintaining control and having certain results in life. And social media, of course, exacerbates that. It's like you want to be the perfect form, right?
Yeah.
And if there's someone online who's got a small waist, big hips, big bum, and they've got all these likes, it's like they must be the epitome of what we're supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to now restrict what I'm eating,
work
out. What people don't talk about is the purging, so the vomiting, taking laxatives as a form of losing weight.
So
that's kind of how I see it in my practice.
I think especially the what you've just said, I literally had a patient once who she had experienced some trauma, and the reason she wasn't eating was like it was her making a stand basically towards her family, and it led her to obviously having a full-on eating disorder and being sectioned and so on and so forth. But essentially it was just withdrawing to make a not make a point in a bad way, but to communicate. And it was her way of communicating in a place where she'd been silenced. So it was actually even me seeing that, I was like, oh, like it's not just as simple as some people just trying to be slim or trying to, it was, there was so many complexities with it as well.
Eating disorders are very systemic. That's where you usually find like they use a
family
informed approach to it.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things going on in the family that lead to it. And it's something about the person having an eating disorder that maintains the status quo of the family. So looking at it from a systemic lens, I think is extremely important.
Yeah.
It's not just the individual because nothing is just the individual, right?
Yeah.
We're all affected by what's going on around us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of my last questions, well, nearly last question that I want to ask is, we've spoken a lot about like fitness and health, but another massive component of fitness and health is rest. And I think from some of the conversations we had when I asked what weight you're carrying, we all need a lot of rest, right?
Yeah.
And I think rest is something I'm still trying to understand what that looks like. Literally, funny enough, with my therapist, one of the things was I just don't see rest in my even my household. Like my mum's a go-getter, I'm a go-getter. Everyone's just up and out the house, no one's around, everyone's just gonna go do it. So you know when you're like, you're being told by your therapist to just sit down, and I'm like, and then
Do what?
Like, I don't understand. What am I supposed things to do? Like, so, you know, what does rest look like for you busy ladies?
Oh, yes. Do you know what? I love rest. I used to have a really bad relationship with rest.
Yeah.
And I think that was mainly because I was, I had like, what's the best way to describe it? Almost like an overachieving addiction where you do one thing, okay, that's done, need to move on to the next thing, that's done, so on and so forth. But then I think knowing about what happens when you rest and learning about that, I think really changed my perspective on the way that I manage rest. So for example, even for me, during summer, I took the whole month of August off.
Oh, nice.
To rest, intentionally
Amen.
And just be. And it was challenging because every now and again you sort of want to check your emails and things that. But I think the fact that I'd set the intention to say this month I'm going to rest, recuperate, I think that itself allowed me to top up my well-being. So a phrase that I usually like to use is topping up your well-being bank account.
Oh, yeah, you love a good topping up. You love it.
I will tell you every single day to top up your well-being bank account.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's just really highlighting that with what I do, it does require a lot of energy. It does require a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And if me as Vanessa, if I'm not in a good place,
how
am I then going to be able to serve the people that I need to? How am I going to be the best version of myself?
Yeah.
Not just for myself, but for the people that I care about as well. So I'm very intentional. I've been very intentional about rest.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how can I actually incorporate that into my day to day.
Yeah.
And so what I have been, I sort of been on and off with this anyway, but Friday evening to Saturday evening, no matter what's happening, I'm not doing any work.
Okay.
During those 24 hours, I'm not doing anything. I'm just literally.
So you have clear boundaries.
And that's a weekly practice for me. As much as I try to as much as possible anyway, that where I can, I think that then allows me to reset because there's so many things that happen when you allow yourself to rest.
And absolutely,
I think also the way that we look at rest as well, rest is not just sleeping. Rest can be taking a break from your responsibilities. Rest can be saying no. Rest can be giving or delegating a task. It's just about looking at taking a break in a way that works for you.
No, I completely agree. Okay, cool. So, Celine, what does rest look like for you?
Rest looks like a number of things. First of all, I like sleep. I do like to sleep, mm-hmm. but I like to make sure that I'm getting the amount of sleep that works for me.
Yeah.
And I always ask people, okay, what are your hours? Don't think that just because you saw 8 hours somewhere, yeah. that is for you, because it might not be yeah. what you need, you know? Some people need more, some people need less.
Yeah.
But making sure that I get my 8 hours. Also, sometimes doing nothing. Mm. I'm just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I like to just do nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to rest, and that could be like that could be active in a way. So right. I might take a walk.
Yeah.
But I might take a walk and not listen to anything.
Okay.
So it's like my brain is just like calm.
And yeah.
not taking in any information, yeah. anything more than, of course, my surroundings.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it is taking in something. Mm. Like I might sit and watch something that has something just so random.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to think about anything else. So it's like rest looks very different depending on what I need.
Yeah.
But maybe if I'm really overwhelmed and like I'm overthinking a lot, yeah. I might just put on something else
yeah.
to help me, to kind of distract me and zone make out. Sure that I'm not, yeah, like zone out.
Yeah.
But yeah, rest looks a lot like spending time with people I love as well.
Yeah, that part.
I like, you know, when you spend time with your, oh, I love a cuddle.
I love
a cuddle.
Yeah.
And spending time with the people that you love, and then life is just worth living again. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, life is amazing. Yeah. So rest, depending on what I need, then I'll find like the corresponding.
Yeah. Yes,
rest.
Completely agree with that. There's nothing like, do you know when you're so stressed and then you just spend like an hour on the phone to your girl and you're like, oh, that's I can do this. Just let it out. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. What about you, Paris? What does rest look like for you?
Yeah, I've had a bit of a difficult relationship with rest, I would say. I feel like I was someone, similarly to what you were saying, that couldn't recognise it.
Yeah.
And couldn't recognise when I needed it.
Yeah.
So now what rest looks like for me is just being. Rather than doing, I'm someone that's always doing. What am I doing next? It's just being.
Yeah.
Just knowing that I'm alive, I'm breathing, and I don't actually have to do anything if I don't want to or if I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was someone that often saw rest as like a reward. Mm, I think that was kind of something that I grew up seeing.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not a reward. It's a necessity. It's something we all need. And I kind of see it as like a space to recoup.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm a busy babe. I do a lot of things. Yeah. But I will burn out if I don't rest.
Yeah.
So I see it almost as a priority for me.
Yeah.
And what that looks like is watching a bit of reality TV from time to time, just lying down.
Yeah.
No one around, no one to speak to.
Yeah.
Obviously, as a therapist, psychologist, I speak to people all day, every day.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is just being on my own.
Yeah.
Without doing that. But also, as of recent, I've been trying to practice sort of more like mindfulness exercises as a means of clearing my mind or being aware of my environment. Mm-hmm. So being intentional about what is going on around me, inside of me, in my thoughts. And that allows me to kind of enter a space where I feel more calm and I feel more at ease.
Mm.
Sometimes I have to turn that on because I'm someone that naturally has a lot of energy and what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not actually someone that uses sleep as rest because I sleep quite easily. I'm actually one of those people that really
drop sleep
anywhere, everywhere.
Oh, really?
So sleep, so sleep isn't really restful for me.
Okay.
What is restful is just being. So just almost being. Just like lying down, sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
Just being there.
Yeah.
Like a piece of furniture. You know?
No, I completely love that. I think rest, and I think even as Black women, like I do think that's something that we just don't necessarily have the best relationship all the time. So I'm glad to hear that you guys have your different practices. I think one thing that's really helped me, literally as of this year, is actually remembering how specific the Bible is in telling us that God rested on the seventh day. Because I said this to my friend the other day, they could have just said God did this in 6 days. And then kept it pushing to the next story. But I think we were told that for a reason. And I think that's something that's been helping me, being like, Rez, he rested. Why slow down? Yeah. Keep the day free, or keep, you know, move an appointment around or whatever. But I think where we are chasing our dreams and our goals, and you guys have clients, challenges, you're hearing all these things every day, I think it can be hard to switch off sometimes.
Such a key point.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you guys are. Good on you guys. Okay, so we're going to start wrapping up. This has gone very quickly.
It's gone a bit too quickly.
So
chit-chat.
Yeah, a bit fancy. So one thing I do want to say that I think the reason why I wanted you guys here is, having worked in the field for coming up to a decade. I'm actually leaving my job at the at this moment in time. But having been in the field in a decade, I really feel like mental health professionals are like the unseen heroes.
100%.
I feel like when you think about health, you think about like doctors and stuff. And then you think about mental health, you do think about like therapy and stuff. But I don't think you think about like what people are actually doing, like what it actually looks like to have a full caseload or having back-to-back clients or delivering training, all that stuff. And I think, yeah, I just don't feel like people always really know what it's like. Mm-hmm. I don't because I feel like when I hit speak to my friends, everybody's like, oh my god, I've like got 20 clients and so on and so forth. So I think one thing I really wanted to do on today's episode is, number one, give you guys your flowers, because I just don't think, I think because I'm with y'all, I know sometimes it's just like, yeah, you just got to do this. This is your caseload. This is what you've got to do. So I wanted to give you guys your flowers and just thank you guys for what you're doing in the community. Because I know you guys are all like working everywhere. Like Celine, I see your content everywhere. I was like, obviously I know Paris and Vanessa personally. I don't actually know Celine personally. But I was like, I got to get this girl because I see what you're doing. And I just think we need more people to come out and talk about these things. Vanessa, you have your second Wellbeing Awards show. Like, yeah. Come on now. Like, don't play with Vanessa Bank. Don't play with her. And Paris, you're literally completing doctoral training. Like, the percentage of people that look like you,
2% of people in the UK have a doctoral degree.
Wow.
So the percentage that look like me, that come from my background,
Just like, we just don't see ourselves in these spaces all the time, and then our traumas and our stories just never get told, and people don't get healed. So I think it's really important just to honor you guys and just thank you guys for what you're doing in the community.
Thank you.
No, thank you as well.
I was gonna say thank you for like having these conversations. They're really important, and I do think social media makes mental health feel like light work. Like what we do is just easy.
Yeah.
It's actually really difficult.
It is.
And what about when we're going through our own stuff?
And you still got to go to the gym.
We still got to go to the gym. Still got to see clients and everything else. So thank you for providing us the space to talk about such important things in a light way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. We appreciate you. Thank you for holding the space.
And I didn't say give me your flowers. Oh. And I did mean literally
as well. Oh. So if there's some flowers for you, we'll pass it along.
This is so
stand up to the mic.
Okay.
I love flowers as well.
Thank you so much.
No worries. We don't always get our flowers. So
lovely.
From me to you, and just like literally, guys, I remember when I first started this field, and it was like when you saw a black girl, I was like, oh my god, let's be friends. Because there's not many of us. So I think, you know, I know you guys are all trying to build your careers, but don't get discouraged by maybe not getting the clients that you want or not reaching the pinnacles you think you're going to reach at a certain season. Like, you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing. So
really,
amen.
I'm
not about to cry on my podcast. I get triggered by other people crying. So we're not going to do that. But on that note, we are going to wrap it up. So guys, please tell the camera, look into your cameras and let people know, where can they find you? Guys, please be listening well. The community needs healing, okay? The community needs healing. So if you need help around stress, you need therapy, you even just want to have a consult, just contact them and just ask like, hi guys, this is my problem, or my family member needs this, and just, they will signpost you. So please, I cannot stress. Do you know, sometimes I just feel, every time I meet someone, I'm like, can you get therapy, or can you speak to somebody? Because they're just, the world is broken. And I just think more people need healing, especially people from our community. So like I said, it's World Mental Health Day this week. It's Black History Month. So please use the resources available. Mm-hmm. Now, girls, speak into your camera with vim and tell them where they can find you.
Okay, guys, if you are looking for therapeutic support, if you want to live the life that you want to live, make sure you holler at me. So you can find me on Instagram at Vanessa Boachi. And if you're looking for some resources, if you're looking for training for your workplace, for your organization, for your event, if you want us on the panel, contact Inside Out Wellbeing.
Love that. Yeah. Thank you, Vanessa.
If you just want to talk, you can find me at Selinsky on all social platforms. And if you're looking for some mental health support, some stress support, if you want to learn how to make better decisions so that you can improve your life and manage your stress better, then please do hit me up at Solutions UK. So that's Celutions UK.
Love that. Thanks, Lynn.
Right.
Sorry. Shout. So if you want to find me, it's paris.lalove on Instagram. That's the main way to contact me at the moment. I would say if you're interested in any individual therapy sessions, if you need someone that's relatable and works around you rather than fitting you into a mold, I'm your girl. Ooh. But also I do podcasts, speaking arrangements and engagements, and I also work with services as well. So just jump in my DMs if you need support.
Love that. Love that. Love that. Well, no, thanks guys so much for coming. It's been a pleasure. Thanks guys for listening. Their details are in the description box, and I'll be back with another episode soon. Bye guys.
Bye.
And it's a wrap.
That was so good.